This is New England Public Radio. It's April Fool's, and no joke, the public may finally get a say on the Massachusetts budget this week. I'm Carrie Healy, and this is Beacon Hill in 5, our quick look at the week ahead in politics and government in Massachusetts. We're joined now by Matt Murphy with the State House News Service. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to talk to you again. Aren't we now just weeks away from seeing a fiscal 2020 budget come from the House Ways and Means Committee?
We are. I expect that we would get eyes on it probably middle of next week. And it's sort of a highly anticipated one because it's the first budget that new House Ways and Means Chairman Aaron Michaelowicz is putting together since he was named to that post. But also because the Speaker has kept the door slightly more ajar this year to new tax proposals. He hasn't slammed it shut as he has in recent years. And people are wondering, especially after the death of the millionaire's tax last year, which had been counted on for new revenue, whether or not the Speaker will really embrace any new revenue streams or put that decision off.
It felt like a kind of slow start to the legislative session. What's left to do before they get to this budget finish line in the House?
It is, and I think that's why you saw a bit last week. There was sort of a flurry of activity in the Senate and the House. They were trying to finalize some legislation, I think, you know, to notch a few wins before they turn their attention to the budget starting next week, because we're going to see the rollout of the budget. Then it's school vacation week. Legislators will be reading it, filing amendments, and then the House will spend a full week debating it. So that will suck up much of the month of April.
There's a hearing tomorrow. Is that going to be the only time that the public will get to testify on the budget?
Yeah, this is the big public hearing for the governor's budget bill. The Ways and Means Committee has been going around the state focused on invited testimony only. They bring in different agency heads and secretaries and other officials to talk about their budgets and their budget requests as they put together their spending plan, and this is the chance for the public to weigh in.
Last week, the state Senate voted to lift the welfare family cap on benefits, and Westfield Republican Senator Don Humison was the lone dissenting voice. He also was among five Republicans who voted present as the Senate overwhelmingly voted to ban conversion therapy for minors. Are those Humison votes at all surprising, given that he's running for mayor of Westfield this year? Did you expect him to take more of a moderate path?
Well, it's certainly interesting that he's running for mayor and taking these votes. At least on the conversion therapy ban bill vote, he was among five of the six Republicans in the Senate who voted present. They were concerned just the way the bill was written. The vote on the welfare cap, a little more interesting. That was almost unanimous, except, as you said, Senator Humison voting no. And he, after the vote, requested permission to make a statement and explained that while he wants to help these families, he is hearing so often from people in his community that they are struggling to pay the bills and they are putting off family decisions or putting off having kids because they're concerned about being able to afford them. And he doesn't think it's fair to ask them to pay for a benefit that perhaps these more middle-income families do not get themselves. So that was his rationale for that vote. Whether or not it will play with the people of Westfield, I guess, will remain to be seen.
It should be noted, though it was fairly close, Westfield did vote for President Trump in 2016.
That's interesting. So, you know, you may see a welfare vote like this, someone trying to hold the line on these benefits. It may actually work to his favor.
The state Senate says it has launched a sexual harassment survey for members and staff. Based off that, an outside contractor will offer recommendations. Now, this is just one piece of a multi-part initiative in the Senate after allegations were made against former Senator Rosenberg's husband last session. Is the House taking steps as well, similar steps?
Yeah, the House has taken similar steps. I mean, they certainly passed a package of rules to address some of this stuff. They are still working to hire an equal opportunity employment officer who would be the new point of contact for people with complaints, concerns about workplace issues, including sexual harassment. But we have not yet seen the House embrace this idea of a workplace climate survey to kind of gauge the culture of the House and see what people actually think is going on anonymously. It has been proposed. It has not been adopted yet. But as you said, the Senate is moving forward with this, and it'll be really fascinating to see the results when they come back.
Matt Murphy, reporter with the State House News Service in Boston. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is Beacon Hill in 5, our weekly check-in at the State House. You can subscribe to this podcast and others at our website. That's nepr.net/podcast hub. This is New England Public Radio. Thank you.